Father, you said, call me, and you would answer and show us great and mighty things. And Lord, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus, asking for your forgiveness, for your mercies and your grace, your continued counsel, correction, and direction, as we repent for every word, every thought, every deed, and every false agreement that we've come in with, everything that we've touched that was unclean, every works of the flesh and dead works. Lord, we repent every area. And we ask that you wash our spirit, soul, and body, and flesh with the blood of the Lamb, drawing us unto you, opening our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, and our hearts to receive what you have for us. Casting our cares upon you because you care for us, and surrendering to your will. Please, Master. Please fill us afresh. Come, Holy Spirit. Take your rightful place. Bring us to the throne room of our Daddy. Restore to us. Restore to us our first love. Severing every emotional attachment of people, places, and things, and entanglements and affairs of this world, that we may be free. Free to honor you. Free to worship you, free to reverence you, and free to bring glory to your name. And we ask, Father, for your presence, for your healing, and for your freedom here tonight. Teach us as we welcome you and commit to you our ways. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, last time we were together, we were talking about the dead zone and the life zone. And in the dead zone and the life zone, man, that just hasn't left me. And it's something very important for us to constantly keep before us so that we can discern what zone we're in. And because the dead zone produces death and the life zone produces life. And in this, we even talked what the dead zones were about in the area where there are works of the flesh. And the works of the flesh produce death, don't they? And there's another area that the Holy Spirit quickened me on. And he said, in this process, as we begin to discern and learn more of the dead zone and the life zone, and not to step in them, but to constantly come out from them and avoid the dead zone, that there's an area where he begins in of perfecting the mind of Christ. Now, the Bible says we have the mind of Christ, but there's an area where we must perfect the mind of Christ. And it's different than just having the mind of Christ. You might have a vehicle that's perfected. You know? In other words, it's complete. It has everything in it, fully loaded. You know, but can you drive it correctly? So, I mean, you might not be used to driving this vehicle, even though it's loaded with everything. And it can, you know, just like a tractor trailer that you know, hauls all of this furniture and food, and it carries all of these things because of the containers, but yet it may run perfect, it may have enough strength to carry tons of food, but you've got to know how to drive it, amen, or it never gets where its designation is. And that's the same thing with the mind of Christ. And there's an area that we've got to begin to really focus in, the area of perfecting the mind of Christ. And perfecting the mind of Christ is the area where you're yielding to his thoughts. You're yielding to his thoughts in obedience. You're yielding to what he is saying. And you're able to discern what you're supposed to do. That's why the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes to convict. He comes to expose. He guides us to all truth. He teaches us because he's the anointing. So in this, there's an area where we've got to begin to perfect the mind of Christ. And we know that sometimes perfecting things means that you've got to go through trials. You've got to go through things to learn. You know, and I'm sure every one of us in this room has said, man, I wish I would have listened to that unction I had. Man, many of us have turned around going, wow, man, you know, I knew better than that. You know, but we did it anyways because of either how we felt or what we believed or what we saw. But it was actually not Christ-like or the mind of Christ. So in this, the Holy Spirit is bringing us through this time right now, not only expressing the area of the dead zone and the life zones, but perfecting the mind of Christ. And it is important because the wave is still cruising, you know. You better wax your surfboards. Because you're either going to ride it or it's going to ride you. Because there's a lot of exposure going on. There's a lot of things that people think they can get away with, and you're not gonna. And that's where we must maintain a humble and repentant heart, no matter what it is. We can't justify, we can't compromise, and we can't become complacent, because that is not the mind of Christ. Are you seeing? So understand that in this time right now, the perfecting of the mind of Christ can either work with you or come against you. You know, because God's not a respecter of person, is he? He'll let you play in sin for so long till he exposes it. Why? Because he is pure, he is holy, and he's righteous. And his righteousness does not dwell with wickedness. Just doesn't. He puts up with so much stuff and hope that we come to a place of repentance and surrender. And if we're not willing to, then he exposes it. And then we have to make a choice whether we're going to humble ourselves or run. And the problem is when we run right in the hands of the devil and things get worse. They don't get better, do they? Because it's the mind of self that runs to the father of lies. But the mind of Christ runs to the Father of holiness. Is everybody okay? Would you turn to Romans 12? Perfecting the mind of Christ. In verse 1, would you read it with me? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the what? Mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your responsibility. And I have to share something with you, because that is the mind of Christ. So many times individuals do not get to that place in the morning. What you offer in the morning is what you'll receive during the day. Hello. So either you want control or you're willing to give it up. And of course, if you want control, guess what mind that is? The mind of self, which is the offspring of who? Darkness. Now, if you want the mind of Christ and you want to cooperate with the mind of Christ, then the Word says that you're to present your spirit, soul, and body to God Almighty as a living sacrifice. You're to give it to Him every single day, no matter what. Why? Because every morning you wake up, the first thing you want to do is fight for your life instead of surrender it. So if you'll take the counsel of the Holy Spirit, which is the mind of Christ, he says, give me your life this morning. Can I have your life? If you give me your life, I'll give you mine. Gentle in love. He doesn't push you. He leads you. So sometimes such that gentleness and love from him, sometimes because we're a little bit too fleshed out in the morning, hungover from pizza, whatever it may be, we're not willing to surrender then. Sometimes it takes stuff we got to go through to go, I need to surrender. But see, sometimes by the time we get to that, we've already been wounded. Hello, and then it takes a little bit more. So the first thing we must do in cooperating with the mind of Christ, and that's called perfecting the mind of Christ in us. It's like having surgery, all right? So the mind of Christ is on the plate, and they're going to take out the mind of self. So they go through the surgery, and the surgery is the process, and then there's recovery, you know, and all the other stuff, so that that mind can cooperate with the rest of the body. And in this, it's called perfecting the mind of Christ. So every morning, we are to surrender our spirit, soul, and body to Him as a living sacrifice. And it is your responsibility. When you miss it, you have no idea that you're fighting for your life that day instead of surrendering it. Just because of that simple process. And then what does it say in verse 2? And do not be conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing the mind is the mind of Christ. It is the perfect will. Let me explain this as best I can. If the mind of Christ is being perfected, you will always produce the perfect will of God. Has everybody got it? If the mind of Christ is not being perfected, you'll have a compromising will. You have a complacency will, which is good, and there's an area of good and acceptable, but you want the perfect will of God. And it doesn't mean that you won't make a mistake. It means that you get right back in there and get into the perfect will of God again. And that's by maintaining the mind of Christ. That's perfecting the mind of Christ will produce the perfect will of God. Everybody okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now I want you to understand something, and this is very important, that you're going to be challenged. You must be challenged. Why? Because the only way that the mind of Christ can be perfected is through your trials. So you must be challenged to see what is producing. Are you producing the mind of Christ or the mind of self? Which one are you yielding? Which one is running your life? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, is everybody there? In verse 14? Let's read this together. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness to him. Now, I want you to get something. Foolishness means they can't comprehend it. They're not yielding to the mind of Christ. It's not acceptable. How many of y'all know that feelings or emotions can interfere with the mind of Christ? It doesn't mean that you won't have feelings or emotions, but the ones that you have are peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, not anger, hatred, jealousy, rage, or vengeance. That is not the mind of Christ. In fact, that's the mind of the devil, known as the mind of self. How about fear? So in this foolishness, the natural mind, the carnal mind, the mind of self cannot comprehend. It looks at the things as of the spirit and then of the mind of Christ as foolish because it cannot comprehend what it's trying to interpret to it. Let's go on. For it says, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he what? Know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. So the only way you can spiritually discern is to allow the mind of Christ to operate in your life. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by who? No one. Of course, you judge fruits, but the judgment that is brought upon an individual cannot be brought upon any individual except from God. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may what? Instruct him, but we have the what? The mind of Christ. But if we have the mind of Christ, then it needs to be perfected in us, doesn't it? We need to learn how to operate in it. We need to learn how to yield to it. We need to learn how to cooperate with the mind of Christ and begin to nullify the mind of self. Now, the mind of self is the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. The mind of Christ is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. It's real simple. Has everybody got it? So where there's lust and pride and arrogance and so forth, it's the mind of self. And it's always wanting to fulfill self. In fact, it prides itself on the ability to fulfill itself.
Look what I've done.
But the mind of Christ nullifies self. It never wants to take any glory. It always wants to bring Him the glory. Always. In fact, there's times when somebody tries to put on you what you've done, and it becomes offensive to the mind of Christ, because it isn't what we've done, it's what He's done. So even though we have the mind of Christ, now we need to perfect the mind of Christ by knowing His thoughts, yielding to His thoughts, and manifesting His thoughts. So that takes practice, doesn't it? And of course, you get your practice through your trials, don't you? Your challenges. Your every morning, your every day, as soon as you get up, there's self. Now, the mind of Christ is the highest form of thought. It's the highest level form of thought expressed from His being. Do you understand it? I mean, you know, if we could truly comprehend this, that God gave us a part of His mind. Whoa. I mean, if we had, I mean, you know, I'd say it's only a speck, you know, because if we had enough of it, we'd blow up. We go, oh, poof, there he goes. Uh-oh, in the mind of Christ. Everybody who got in the spirit would blow up. So in this, the mind of Christ is the highest form of thoughts expressed from His being. Now we know that we can handle. That we can handle. Because if you let loose of how He thinks, we'd all get killed. We couldn't hold it. In Romans 8, in fact, you'd be killed. And that's what we call loved to death. I mean, did you ever say that to the Lord? Oh, Lord, you're killing me. Because He's loving you so much. He loves you to death. In Romans 8 and verse 5, would you read it with me? It says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Now, of course, we know that one is the mind of self and the mind of Christ. So, it says that, and those who set their minds, that word set means focus. What you're focusing on. Are you focusing on self? If you're focusing on self, that means you're going to protect self, and that's called pride. And we know that fear protects pride. Anger protects fear. And those who live according to the flesh set their minds. They begin to focus on things. For to be what? Carnally minded is what? Death. I'd say they're in the dead zone then. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Wow. You know, the Bible tells us that a person who is associated with the mind of self or the wickedness, they cannot rest until they commit evil. They've got to do something that's not of God. And then they can rest. Did you ever get around a vengeful person? They've got to do something. They've got to say something. They've got to do something to promote evil. Then they can rest. But it's false peace, isn't it? Why? Because they're in the mind of self and not the mind of Christ. Is everybody okay? So we can see that the word set means to focus. It's associated with practice. To focus is to practice, isn't it? It either is going to produce life or it's going to produce death. In Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Would you read it with me? It says, "Let this mind be in you which was also in" who? "Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." Now, in this, I want you to grab hold of this because We are not God, are we? But can we think like Him? Yes. It doesn't make you God. Does He desire that you think like Him? Oh, hello. So it's not, is it offensive to want to think like Him? No. In fact, He acknowledges it. He wants you to think like He thinks. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of what? No reputation. Why? Because self always wants a reputation, doesn't it? Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, He what? Humbled Himself. In other words, in this humbling of self, I wanted you to look at this as in another arena. Humbling yourself means denying the mind of self. When you humble yourself, you deny the mind of self. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Wow. So that's why the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Why? Because a person that's anxious for everything is in the mind of self. It's got to have what it wants right now. I want an answer now. I need this now. I got to do this now. No. He says, be anxious for nothing. Right? And then what does He say? But what? But prayer and supplication. An individual who's more associated with the mind of self has a poor prayer life. Because the mind of Christ has a good prayer life. Hello? And that's how many people backslide and fall. I'm telling you, it starts right off with a prayer life. If you do not have a prayer life, you will not be able to maintain the mind of Christ. In fact, the mind of Christ will not be perfected in you. And what I mean by perfected, it now runs your life. It now runs your life. The mind of Christ runs your life. Even though you have the mind of Christ, you must allow it to run your life, don't you? And it is a season right now where God is saying, I want my mind perfected in you. I want my thoughts perfected in you. I want my ways perfected in you, that others can see as this wave continues to crush and separate, and of course carry those who are His, so they can see your light shine. When they say see your light shine, they're actually seeing the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory. In other words, think like the character of Christ, not puffed up to be established of a reputation, but to be a humble servant. Remember, humbling yourself means you are denying the mind of self. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Hallelujah. In verse 1. Would you read it with me? Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, what does it say? Arm yourselves also with the what? Do you understand arm? That's a part of your armor, isn't it? Arm yourself with the same mind. The mind of what? The mind of Christ. Because if you arm yourself with the mind of Christ, you're going to humble yourself by denying the mind of self. Arm yourself also with the mind of Christ, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the what? Lusts of men. But for the what? Will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking, parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, but speaking evil of you, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Arm yourselves with the mind of Christ to overcome the mind of self. Why we're here, I want to go to 1 Peter 5 in verse 6. Therefore what? Humble yourself. In other words, humbling yourself means what now? Denying the mind of self. Under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. See, because if you're willing to deny the mind of self, that's where he says, quit leaning on your own understanding. Acknowledge him, trust him in all of your ways. Quit trying to figure out. Quit trying to fix it. See, self has to get its little paws. I think the mind of self has got a bunch of fingers in it. Wants to get in there, you know. It's like a big hat with fingers, you know. And in this, he says, listen, if you'll humble yourself, in other words, deny the mind of self, I'm going to exalt you. In other words, I'm going to exalt the mind of Christ through you. Where people will recognize the mind of Christ through you, because I know that you won't take the glory, you'll give the glory to me. He says, casting your care upon him, for he what? Cares for you. So what does the mind of self want to do? Fix every care. What does the mind of Christ want to do? Take it. Are you listening? He wants to take it. He doesn't want to fix it. He just wants to take it. So you don't have to fix it. You know, we do that song, Take It All. That's a great song, Take It All. Well, the whole thing is then the mind of Christ wants to take it all. So you don't have to deal with it. Then what he does is he coordinates it, fix it all up, do this, does that, and he does his recipe, and then he brings back a little piece at a time to you. Okay, do this now. He's not going to give you the whole thing. He gives you a little piece at a time. Do this now. Okay, great. Thank you. Anything more? No. Oh, come on, give me some more. That's anxiousness. That's the mind of self. See, because then what you're saying, I can't trust you to do it in your time. The mind of self wants to do it in its time. Now, in verse 8 it says, be what? Sober, be vigilant, because you're what? Adversary, the who? The devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, who's he going to go after to devour? Him who's in the mind of Christ or him who's in the mind of self? Mind of self. Now, he doesn't come up to you and wait for you. I'm just waiting for that moment right now for that person to get in the mind of self, then I'm going to attack him. No, he puts little popcorn around you. He puts little things around you to begin to pick up. I mean, they could be the little bitty, bitty, bitty burden that he wants you to pick up. Because once you put it in your pocket, it blows up. It's like one of those sponges, you know? It's a real small, and then it gets a little water because you water it. See, the devil brings it to you, and then he talks to you, and then you water it, and it goes. And the next thing you know, you're like, man, what's happening? This is heavy. Yes, just got watered. And then you know that you're in the flesh then. So he's seeking whom he can devour. Like I said, he just doesn't come up to you. He does a little bit at a time. But the Bible says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In other words, you're not alone. You're not the only one going through it. Hello? And that's where the enemy always wants to get you. Aren't you the only one this happens to? Maybe you need to take a pill. Maybe you need to find somebody. Aren't you just alone in this whole ordeal? You're the only one. Then oppression and heaviness and all the other stuff comes around. And the next thing you know, you're going to the medicine cabinet or the refrigerator. Hello? Or somewhere else to try to bring a fulfillment and justify how you feel. Instead of casting on the Lord and letting the mind of Christ take preeminence. Is everybody okay? Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 8. Let's read it. Finally, brethren, whatever things are what? True, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there's any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Wow. The things which you have learned and received and have heard and saw in me, these things are these do, and the God of peace will be what? With you. So he's saying, make sure your focus is on the pure things. In other words, you may judge by fruit, but once you've judged by fruit, that's to protect you. But don't judge the person. He's already judged. Has everybody got it? Proverbs 12. In other words, think about pure, forgive, and bless. Turn from evil and remove the things of lust and perversion and so forth that would cause you to stumble. Proverbs 12, verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are what? Deceitful. That means they are deceived. You can't be deceitful without being deceived. The words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will what? Deliver him. Wow. Powerful. The thought of the righteous is righteous, and the thought of the wicked is deception. In other words, the thought of the righteous is truth, and the thought of the wicked is deception. In Psalm 56. Psalm 56. Let's start at verse 3. Let's read it together. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I will put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Ooh. All day they twist my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together, they hide, they mark my steps. When they lie in wait for my life, shall they escape by iniquity? In anger, cast down the peoples of God. So we see here something that's happening. The wicked always twist thoughts. There's always twisted thoughts there. Did you ever talk to someone and tell them, it ain't what I said. It's got nothing to do with what I said. But it gets twisted, because that's what the mind of self does. It twists it to promote self. Did you ever read something and what you read was totally twisted and you had to read it again? Because you read it with the mind of self instead of the mind of Christ. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Let's read it together. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conform yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And of course, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's works, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, or what we call the fear of the Lord, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by what? Tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot. In other words, gird yourself, set a shield. Set a shield. Those are called boundaries. You set boundaries. Even the mind of Christ will set boundaries so that you don't overstep into the mind of self. Just like the dead zone and the life zone. The Holy Spirit sets boundaries of thoughts. He sets boundaries in how far you can think, or even how long you can think on something. Has everybody got it? In other words, you turn on the TV and it's tough. There's all kinds of stuff on there. I mean, things just fly across your eyes and you got to erase it. You know, you got to cast things down quickly or whatever it may be. There may be something that you desire, but it isn't God's time yet. And you've got to remove that all the time. But the devil always likes to bring it up, even in your thought patterns. There are boundaries, things that he sets up in your thought patterns so that you don't dwell on something for a period of time. In other words, overextend yourself in dwelling on something because it can bring harm to you. So he sets boundaries. And in these boundaries, it's when you set up, when you gird yourself, you're setting up shields. And we call it the shield of faith, don't we? So that there's boundaries. Those are because the devil's always sending fiery darts, isn't he? And he's always messing with your head, man. Yeah, I mean, the battle is here. Oh, praise God. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Perfecting the mind of Christ. You know, in perfecting the mind of Christ also is the area where when you hear the mind of self wanting to speak out, you don't let it. You let the mind of Christ speak out, not the mind of self. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. Would you read it? And you who once were what? Alienated and enemies where? In your mind. By wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you what? Continue what? In the faith. In the faith. Grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. In other words, the mind of Christ keeps you reconciled to him. The mind of Christ will keep you reconciled. The mind of self keeps you alienated. The mind of Christ keeps you reconciled. The mind of self keeps you alienated. Why? Because it keeps you alienated by deception. The mind of self always wants to deceive you. In Luke 6, Luke chapter 6, in verse 40, Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, a disciple is not above his what? Come on, read it. Say it again. A disciple is not above his what? Teacher. Ooh. But everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. So there's a training process God brings us through, isn't it? And it's a place where we're yielding to the mind of Christ. Why? Because he's perfecting his mind in us. And in this, he says, if you're my disciple, you're going to be perfectly trained to think like me, to discern like me. In verse 41, it says, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the national grand forest in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the trunk out of your eye," then when you yourself do not see the national grand forest in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, then you will clearly, what? Then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Hallelujah. So I want you to get something here, because the mind of Christ uses sight. The mind of Christ can see. It can see. In fact, that's what will bring you imagination. He reveals to you in your imagination, which is the image window. So the mind of Christ will show you things. That's why prophets spoke by what they saw, not always by what they heard. In fact, there are things that they saw and didn't understand, but they spoke them. There are things that they heard that they didn't understand and spoke it. Come on, do you think Isaiah understood that there would be a child born and it would reign and it would be everlasting Father, Prince of Peace? He didn't understand all that. And some of the prophecies that came forth, they didn't understand all of that. They just spoke what they heard, or they spoke what they saw. So we see here that the mind of Christ is to be able to see. So we are not only being trained to perfect the mind of Christ, but by perfecting the mind of Christ, you're going to perfect your sight. Spiritual sight. And what is spiritual sight? Faith. Spiritual sight is what? Faith. So we know that the mind of Christ is always producing faith. Always producing faith. Well, what's in the mind of Christ? The Word. Faith comes by what? Hearing. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Perfecting the mind of Christ. It'd be a lot easier if we could just download it, you know. Here, eat the CD. Yes! First, you got to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Proverbs 23 and verse 6. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. In other words, as a man thinks, so he is. So if you're thinking, if you're submitting and yielding to the mind of Christ, which thoughts are constantly coming, you'll be like Christ. If you're yielding to the mind of self, you'll be an idiot. All right? Psalm 119, which means spiritually blind. Psalm 119. Ooh, there's a lot of verses here, isn't there? Start at verse 57. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. In other words, I thought, I discerned, I looked what I was thinking. And when I realized that what I was doing wasn't right, I turned my ways. Does everybody got it? I turned my way. I turned my feet. So we understand that there's a place where you must constantly discern those thoughts so you can turn. You turn. So if the Holy Spirit is saying, that ain't right, you turn. Sometimes if the mind of self will say, more, 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 more. Me, 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 mine, 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 mine. Covetous, covetous, covetous. That's the mind of self. So we need to discern the thought and then turn when necessary. Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4. And verse 11. Everybody there? Micah chapter 4, verse 11. Let's read it. Now also many nations have gathered against you who say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand His ways, nor do they understand His counsel. For He will gather them like sheaves to the threshing floor. So it is very important at this time to allow the mind of Christ to be perfected in you. At this time, because things are so critical. You know, we can get caught up in the news. We can get caught up in circumstances. We can get caught up on all these things. And I want you to get this, because right now the enemy is trying to impart anger and hatred, vengeance and jealousy globally. I mean, he's been trying to promote hatred for a while, hasn't he? You know, especially when you see all these terrorist things done and people being blown up and all, you know, and it's like, man, it's nothing but promotion of hatred. And the Word tells us that in the latter days there'll be a lot of hatred. And one of the things, God is not the God of hatred, He's the God of love. So where there's hatred, well, you know that it's the mind of self, isn't it? But they don't know the thoughts of God. They don't know His ways. And that's where we must come to, is to know and understand His counsel. In Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. And read verse 3 with me. What does it say? Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be what? Established. Wow. In other words, commit your works to Him. It's like casting your cares upon Him. But so many times we cast our burdens and problems on Him, but not the things we're getting ready to work on. He says, commit me your works. Commit me your projects. Commit me to me your job, what you're going to do that day. Commit your works to me, and I will establish your thoughts. How many of y'all want your thoughts established by the mind of Christ? Amen? Well, if you don't commit your works to Him, they'll be established by the mind of self. And that's where people get frustrated and all kinds of other things. Do you ever go out there and try and fix something? And man, you're like, man, I just don't get this. Well, you know why? You know now. I'll never forget one day I went to go change a tire on this friend's car. And before I started, I said, Lord, I commit this to You. Holy Spirit, I welcome You. I'm going to acknowledge You, and You help me. So I went, it was a back tire, and I went to go change it. And he shared with me that the bearings in the axle were bad. And I thought, wow. So I tore the thing apart, and man, the bearing in the axle was bad. And I'm thinking, whoa, and I got to pull this. I think it was a Toyota or something like that. I forget what it was. No, it couldn't have been. It was a rear drive. So, so I went to go. I figured, well, if I'm going to change one side of the bearings, I'm going to change both. And he said, no, the other ones are fine. So I went over to the other side, and I just checked the bearings, and the things were tight, man. But the other ones were loose. So, you know, naturally, I would have just replaced them both. But he said, no, you don't need to. They're still like new. I said, okay, so that saved half of the time. You know, and did you ever go work on a car and do the famous mechanical backyard test? It's called the process of elimination. Okay, let's see if this works. Throw it. Let's replace it. You know, how many of you have replaced the whole electrical system, the engine, and come to find out it had a bad fuse? You know, it's called the process of elimination.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, one time I was driving down the road, and all of a sudden I got a vision. I was driving a 46 Chrysler limo, and I had a vision that the fuel filter in the carburetor had loosened up. And all of a sudden the car goes, and I pull over to the side of the road, and I'm going, man, help me, Holy Spirit. And he's like, I already did. I said, okay. So I took off the carburetor filter and put my hand on the fuel filter. It was connected to the carburetor. And man, I said, man, this thing's loose. And tightened it up. I tightened it up with my hand. I got in the car, started, and I went home. I'm telling you, he'll rescue you if you allow him to show you. And if you'll listen, the mind of Christ knows everything. Everything. There isn't anything he doesn't know. He's got a set of blueprints to eternity. He knows, and let me tell you, I don't care what your car, I don't care what, he never runs out of parts. He knows where they're buried if you need it. 2 Corinthians 10. So we know that if we commit our works to him, he's going to establish our thoughts. That's called perfecting the mind of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Everybody there? Let's read it. Verse 3. For though we what? Walk in the natural realm, we're in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, which is memory lies. It's called the mind of self also. It has every kind of memory lie associated. Casting down arguments. How many of y'all know that the mind of self is always arguing with the mind of Christ? Man, it never shuts up sometimes. Casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, when you're allowing the mind of Christ to operate, you're yielding. I want to close at Jeremiah 7, perfecting the mind of Christ. Jeremiah chapter 7. In verse 22. Let's read it. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, which means the world, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. So, in other words, so many times people begin to justify themselves and call it God by works of sacrifice instead of obeying his voice. And verse 24 says, yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward. Let me tell you something. By yielding to the mind of self, you will always go backwards. You cannot go forward. The mind of self will not go forward. It always goes backwards. Why? Because it goes back to the old. The old character, the old ways, the old thoughts, the old feelings, the old emotion, everything of old, the old complacency, the laziness, that's all the mind of self. But the mind of Christ is always going forward. It's always looking for something new. It's always wanting the newness of God. So in this, we got to understand that his voice, okay, the mind of Christ is his voice. The mind of Christ is his voice. The mind of Christ is his presence. The mind of Christ is his word. And the mind of Christ is his sight. Those are four areas associated with the mind of Christ. In verse 25 it says, since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt or the world until this day, I have even sent you all of my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore you shall speak to all these words to them, but they will not obey you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you. So you shall say to them, this is a nation that does not obey the voice of the Lord their God, nor receive what? Correction. Truth has perished and has been cut off from their mouth. One of the things in the area of perfecting the mind of Christ is speaking the word. Speaking the word. Speaking the word, making your declaration, speaking the word. You know, in the world, in the mind of self, they say, sticks and stones shall break my bones, but your words will never hurt me. But in the mind of Christ, it says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You know. So in the, or I can do all things through Christ. I am more than a conqueror. I have the mind of Christ. If he be for me, who can be against me? God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. See, now you're speaking the mind of Christ, aren't you? And when you speak the mind of Christ, Christ shows up and kicks butt on the devil. So we've got to come to the arena where we're allowing the mind of Christ to be perfected in us so he's got preeminence over everything. And everything we do, everywhere we go, and everything we choose. It is important. Didn't say you wouldn't make a mistake. But I do say you'll have victory. You will have victory. And the victory is over self. If you have victory over self, you have victory over the enemy. Because yourself is your enemy. That's what the devil uses. Is everybody okay? So we are in a season right now of perfecting the mind of Christ. So be careful, you're going to be challenged. Amen? Again, I want to share with you, wax up those surfboards and start surfing. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We commit to you. We commit to you our works. We commit to you this time and give you glory. We thank you for perfecting the mind of Christ in us, that we may hear, that we may see, that we may do according to your will. And we promise to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.